In the opening days of the Great War, on the battlefields of Ypres and Ives, I acquired the ability to abandon slumber with a flutter of an eyelid. It was a necessary adaptation, as heavy sleepers were likely to come to, greeted by the sight of a Dren commando with a trench blade. It's a vestige of my past I'd rather lose, all things considered. Rare is the situation that requires the full range of one's perceptions, and in general, the world is improved by being only dimly visible. Case in point, my room was the sort of place best viewed half asleep or in a drunken stupor. Late autumn light filtered through my dusty window and made the interior, already only a few small steps from squalor, look still less prepossessing. Even by my standards, the place was a dump, and my standards are low. A worn dresser and a chipped table set were the only furnishings that accompanied the bed, and a veneer of grime covered the floor and walls. I passed water in the bedpan and threw the waste into the alley below. Lowtown was in full stream, the streets echoing with the screech of fish hags advertising the day's catch to porters carrying crates north into the old city. At the market a few blocks east, merchants sold underweight goods to middlemen for clipped copper, while down Light Street, gutter snipes kept drawn dagger eyes out for an unwary vendor or a blue blood too far from home. In the corners and the alleys, the working boys kept up the same cries as the fish hags, though they spoke lower and charged more. Worn streetwalkers pulling the early shift waved tepid come-ons at passers-by, hoping to pad their faded charms into one more day's worth of liquor or choke. The dangerous men were mostly still asleep, their blades sheathed next to their beds. The really dangerous men had been up for hours, and their quills and ledgers were getting hard use. I grabbed a hand mirror off the floor and held it at arm's length. Under the best of circumstances, perfumed and manicured, I am an ugly man. A lumpen nose dripped below overlarge eyes, a mouth like a knife wound set off center. Enhancing my natural charms are an accumulation of scars that would shame a masochist, an off-color line running up my cheek from where an artillery shard had come a few inches from laying me out, the torn flesh of my left ear testifying to a street brawl where I'd taken second place. A vial of pixie's breath winked good morning from the worn wood of my table. I uncorked it and took a whiff. Cloyingly sweet vapors filled my nostrils, followed closely by a familiar buzzing in my ears. I shook the bottle. Half empty, it had gone quick. Pulling on my shirt and boots, I grabbed my satchel from beneath the bed and walked downstairs to greet the late morn. The staggering Earl was quiet this time of day, and the main room was dominated by the mammoth figure behind the bar, Adolphus the Grand, co-owner and publican. Despite his height, he was a full head taller than my own 6 feet. His cask-like torso was so wide as to give the impression of corpulence, though a closer examination would reveal the balance of his bulk as muscle. Adolphus had been an ugly man before a Dren bolt claimed his left eye, but the black cloth he wore across the socket and the scar that tore down his pockmarked cheek hadn't improved things. Between that and his slow stare, he seemed a thug and a dullard. And though he was neither of those things, this impression tended to keep folks civil in his presence. He was cleaning the bar and pontificating on the injustices of the day to one of our more sober patrons. It was a popular pastime. I sidled over and took the cleanest seat. Adolphus was too dedicated to solving the problems of the nation to allow common courtesy to intrude on his monologue, so by way of greeting, he offered me a perfunctory nod. "And no doubt you'd agree with me, Having seen what a failure his lordship has been as High Chancellor, let him go back to stringing up rebels as executor of the throne's justice. At least that was a task he was fit for. I'm not really sure what you're talking about, Adolphus. Everyone knows our leaders are as wise as they are honest. Now, is it too late for a plate of eggs? He turned his head toward the kitchen and growled, Woman! Eggs! Aside completed, he circled back on his captive drunk. 5 years I gave the crown. 5 years, and my eye.